Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, that there's Rex Hupke. And here's something we have in common now that we did not have in common last week, and that is we both have tattoos now, Rex Hupke. Welcome to the club of tattooing.
Yes, I have been inked. I am officially a millennial.
Or a biker.
And I'm very into skateboarding.
Or just awesome. What made you decide now is the moment I'm going to get a tattoo?
It was a lot of things. I've been thinking about it for quite a while, and I'm a big Grateful Dead listener and have been for years since college, and so that was kind of my thing that if I was ever going to do it, it was going to be Grateful Dead related.
So he's put the little rainbow dancing bears across his forehead.
Yes,
that's the tattoo he's gotten.
Right. Yes, I have a large skeleton spread across my forehead.
I'm gonna steal your face and his head.
So, anyway, so yeah, and then honestly, it's kind of weird, but when my dad died last summer, and he was in hospice care, and so when I left the hospital, I wasn't there when he passed away, but when I left the hospital to come home, because I had to come home, and I knew I wasn't going to see him again.
Right.
It was the last time I saw him. So I got in the car to drive to the airport, and I put the Grateful Dead on. Didn't even give it a thought. And so it was kind of like, after that, it made me realize for sure that music is kind of my center. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's my place.
It's been some life soundtrack for you.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. That is where I go, good, bad, or whatever. And so that's when I realized, like, okay, if I do get a tattoo and it's a Grateful Dead lyric or whatever, then I know I'm not, 20 years from now, I'm not going to be like, oh, God. It's not like I'm getting, Smash Mouth or the Spin Doctors.
Shut These up guys. About my Spin Doctors tattoo.
These guys are awesome. Right. I'm never going to not
Two
like
princes.
Them.
Two princes. Yeah, let's do this. Oh, I know somebody with a, she got a Pearl Jam, like the logo, the guy, on her shoulder right after One came out, and then by the time Vitalogy came out, she was like,
kind of had it with these guys.
I'm done here.
So, yeah, and so it was kind of odd, especially because I don't think my dad would really be too psyched about me getting a tattoo, but nonetheless, that kind of
so it was both memorial and in your face.
Yeah, right. It was an act of rebellion and whatever. But
that's interesting. My dad prompted my tattoo also.
Really?
He, when I was 7, gave me my first tattoo.
You
prison.
Suck, Dad.
No.
Tattoo, you mean?
He gave me a little typewriter because I was making a little newspaper for the household with a pencil and a ruler.
Nice.
And he gave me a typewriter, and he's like, this is going to increase production. Your newspaper will be better and longer, and you'll write more, and you're a good writer.
So
that was kind of where it all began. And so when I sold my first book, I brought that typewriter to the tattoo dude. And I was like, please put this typewriter on my shoulder.
Cool.
I brought the typewriter in. Not a picture of it. Brought it. So I got that.
That's really cool. I like that. That's a great
So
story.
He couldn't bitch that hard because it was like,
Also
I'm a grown-ass woman and I can do what I want.
Yeah,
but also, true. Like, you gave me the typewriter and it was so special to me.
Nice one.
Actually, he doesn't care about the tattoos. It's the nose ring. He's always like, why would you do that to your beautiful face? I'm like, meh, temporary shell, fool, whatever.
I'm really happy. Like, I wasn't
good. It looks great. It's beautifully done. The detail is wonderful.
Just because I think it has some relevance in the moment. The lyric on it is, let me see. It's if I...
you just looked it's, down.
It's if I knew the way, I would take you home, which is from the song Ripple, which is really kind of just about, life's journey and how you have to find your own way. Mm-hmm. Nobody can really tell you where to go or what to do. And in this moment right now, with what we do here and with columns and all kinds of stuff, I feel that a lot of I'm trying to make sense of things.
Sure.
And stuff. But at the end of the day, there's never anything I can say that's going to be the right, the absolute right answer or the, exact, direction somebody should turn or go into. So anyway, that was one of the many things about it.
That's a very thoughtful tattoo. I like it. That's a good story with it.
Thanks. It was very funny though. It's if I knew the way, I would take you home. And as it was getting done, my wife says, wait, if I knew the way, I would drive you home.
Oh no.
I was like, good.
No.
And she's like, ha ha.
Just kidding.
It's pretty, pretty sweet burn.
Yeah, you need some aloe for that wicked burn.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You two are couple goals right there.
Nice.
So yeah. Jokes. Okay. So does she have tattoos?
She,
you had to think about that.
Well, no. I was like, does she care if I say that?
Oh.
No, she had one, but she got it. She got it removed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
After she left the gang?
After they beat her, and then she left the gang and stuff. And no, it had more to do with location and being pregnant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it sort of affected the tattoo slightly.
Sure, totally. That's a thing that happens quite a bit.
Yeah, and honestly, the removals, I mean, you can't see anything. Like, it's, so that stuff is pretty effective, I guess. But good to know next week when I decide I want my tattoo gone.
Hope for, like, Hupke is my BFF if we ever stop being friends. Yeah. I can get that taken off my arm.
Exactly, right.
All right, so tattoos are fun, and I'm glad that you're in that club now.
Thanks.
You will get another one, I'm sure, at some point, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I want Thug on one eyelid and Life on the other, so I can, you know.
I can't even dignify that with a response. That is so ridiculous coming out of your mouth. Anyway, so we are here to talk about politics, not tattoos, so we might as well do that a little bit. We got Melania saying nope to some stuff. We got the shutdown situation. We've got all the things.
Yeah.
We've got the school shooting. Like, a lot has happened this week, but strangely, it's been another one of those, like, wait, what kind of weeks?
That's a great way to, that's a exact perfect way to put it, I think. And yeah, I mean, there's a, like, there was a, God, what was it? There's so many things, and so much of it gets just buried. Frankly, the allegations of paying off an adult film person that he had an affair with.
Why is person the word you're going to switch out?
I don't know. As soon as I said that, I was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I know. Because you're right. And you're right. I mean, I know what you're talking about. I was trying to not say porn star because that's what everybody uses.
I think we all know.
And we can just say,
adult film means porn.
Well, yeah, I know. But whatever.
It's not just like everything that's not G-rated.
Disney princess. But anyway, yeah. No, but you're right. That part of it. And it's funny, though. But that is... That makes it more salacious to people. It should not, but it does, and I can't.
Right. The headline here is what he did.
Right.
Not who he did it with.
Right. Exactly. He paid off a woman that he slept with to not reveal that he slept with her.
That by itself,
right.
Scandal enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, we don't need to necessarily, because
could be like
It makes her unfairly bear the brunt of its shadiness when it's like, she's free to do that. There's nothing wrong with any type of sex work. Like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's your body. Do whatever you want.
You're totally right. You're totally right. I'm too much a part of the patriarchy to quite let that just be reflexive.
Well, as I always say, it is a prison for us all. And we, like, everybody's got some kind of socializing that's happened.
That's not even... I
think you're part of the patriarchy.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Per se.
But,
I think it's like a dome sitting over all of us.
And I don't even know if that's a patriarchy. Because honestly, if that was flipped, like if it was Hillary Clinton had an affair with...
Ron Jeremy?
I think it would be Hillary, you know, bangs porn star or something. I mean, I don't think it would... I don't know that the porn element is necessarily a... relating to sexist. I mean, I think it's more...
I don't know that it would be Hillary bangs porn star. I think it would be...
Porn star bangs Hillary.
I think it would be about her having an affair.
But I think... No, but the headlines would definitely mention who, if it was a...
If it, it would. Was a, if it was like
it was
a person
male,
of note, yes.
Yeah. Even if it was... If
but it would be less about him, the porn star, and more about him, the famous person of note. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Right, I see what you mean.
It would. I think the...
But if it was a
the shame brunt of it would be on the woman to bear, no matter which way that went down.
But if it was just some low-level porn dude, which is the name of my band, by the way, low-level porn dude.
Who would that be?
Well, I don't know. But
some like, right, like lame D-list porn star.
Hung Johnson.
Stop now. Stop now with that. Oh boy.
Anyway, but yeah, talk about getting into the weeds here, but yeah, no, I hear myself say that, and I'm like, when I went straight to,
switch it up for any other profession.
Yeah.
It'd be like,
yeah, no, you're right.
You know, had an affair with a
accountant,
cardiac surgeon.
Yeah,
and it's like
somehow that is better,
right?
No, right,
like,
it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Of course. Okay. Anyway, but the point I was trying to make,
yes,
before that was just that
Melania might be reacting a bit.
Right. Yes. Well, thank you. Well, but also about your what you said about how it's just like there's been another swirl of it. And it's true. I mean, stories just vanish. Stories that would have been just a massive story with the last president, even much less like 10 years ago, are just like a bloop, and, you know, then we're on to the next thing. But yeah, so the thing with Melania is not going to Davos for the big uber rich people meeting or whatever the hell it's called.
Right. That one.
Economic forum on.
I like uber rich people meeting better. Right. A little more accurate.
Right. Place I'm not welcome.
Right. A place that did not invite us.
Right. Right. So she's not going. And so that was viewed by many.
And she said it was like, oh, it's about logistics issues. And of course, you've got to say something like that. You can't say, because I literally don't want to be in the same fucking room with my piece of shit husband.
Yeah. Right. Which I think is probably the case. Right. But
I mean, we saw that. Remember, like, it was over the summer, I guess, when he tried to hold her hand on a tarmac on a red carpet, and she was like, nope.
Yep, whacked it away.
I'm sure this did not help.
No.
In their couples therapy, I'm sure this has not helped matters much.
I'm dying to, I mean, it's bad to get into sort of salacious details in people's personal lives, I guess, but
of people we don't actually know in person.
But I would love to know what the hell is going on behind the scenes there, because I you know, you get into the, you know, do I feel bad for her? Is she complicit in all this? All these, you know, these various questions, which I really can't quite reconcile one way or the other. But I mean, there's part of me that feels like she must just be a heavily medicated mess at this point. Cause like, how do you deal with all this?
I put my head in the oven.
Right. I mean, she must be. It's so,
I think she is complicit, but I also think she's in a terrible spot because I'm sure, I don't know. Again, I don't know these people. I have no idea. I'm only speculating. But I'm sure that there is some great risk to her to leave.
I would think so.
Yeah. I'm sure it involves, you know, like, she has a young child who's not 18. You know, she would not be the first woman to be threatened with, I'll take the kids.
Yeah. Or in this case, I would think far worse than even that, really, because look at who you're dealing with. I mean,
sure,
the shady connections just go on and on and
absolutely
on.
Absolutely. I'm sure that, you know, so I think she is both complicit but also kind of stuck.
Yeah.
I think she's in a tough spot. Right. The look on her face election night said absolutely everything.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, shit, I did not sign up for this.
Right.
What
right.
in the hell am I going to do?
Yeah.
So, as a human being, I feel a little bit sorry for her, but also as a human being, I'm like, you know, what did you imagine was going to happen?
Yes.
And I'm not saying, like, and I think it's easy for people to speculate and say, gold digger, like, we don't know why people are attracted to people. She might be attracted, like, some people are attracted to people in positions of power. Some people are into money. Some people, like, who, we don't know. She might actually think he's super attractive. I couldn't even get that out of my mouth without dying.
That was good simulated. Perfect. Yeah.
However, I can't imagine anyone being like, break me off a piece of that.
Look at that.
Oh my God, I'm going to die.
Nice.
Oh, I just ate lunch. I'm going to throw it up before this podcast is over. But we don't know, is my point. Right. Nobody can say for a fact except for her.
Right.
This is what I thought when I met him, and he charmed me, or whatever the hell.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, she was doing pretty well on her own, I think. It wasn't like she was like a poor person. I mean, I think, you know, she had a modeling career and everything.
Sure.
I mean, so, I mean, you know, who knows? But, yeah, it's weird.
Who knows? But, you know, she's got a kid who's, how old is Baron? 11? Maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
So, you know, like, she's in a tough spot.
Yes,
I get it.
For sure.
And I could see him being the kind of person who will be like, I will fucking ruin you.
Oh, yeah, totally.
If you leave.
Yeah.
Play along.
I mean, I think he would say that to his mother. Like, I don't think he's really, I feel like that's sort of his go-to line, probably.
Well, and when I mean, obviously, we really don't hear much from Marla Maples, but when Ivana Trump was on, I don't remember what news station she was on, but remember, she had like the big interview that was like, he is a fine person, everything is fine. I think he is, but then weirdly, like, threw some shade at Melania. It's like, I'm the real first lady.
Right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Melania was like, mm-mm.
Bitch, so stop. No. That, no. Actually, she was probably like, please, for the love, will you come back and take him?
Exactly.
I will pay you to have an affair with him and come back, steal him from me.
I will trade lives with you.
Because I'm sure, I mean, well, that's known that there is like or at least one point was a gag order on Ivana that she was not to say shit.
Right. Well, didn't she?
She wrote the book.
Which she said he, she didn't she say that he raped her in that? Wasn't there a, or was that Marla, maybe. I don't remember.
I want to say Marla was that. I know Ivana was the one where she said he had no idea how to give a woman an orgasm.
Oh, yeah, right, definitely.
That fine passage of literature.
Which I'm just going to fact check and say true. Yes.
I don't want to know why you can fact check that, Hubby.
Because I'm just sure of it. I know. That's why.
Well, I mean, we've seen the man dance.
Yes.
At the inauguration ball. You know what?
I have no doubt that he cannot do that.
Again, I think I said this last week, but no part of me thinks, I bet he's a generous and unselfish lover. Nope. No part of me thinks that or could be convinced otherwise.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to throw up. So let's jump to another topic before I die.
Move on from there.
Right. Jasmine's in the producer booth shaking her head like, you guys are killing me today with this crap. And she's shaking her head. Yup. Terrible. Anyway, so we have Melania not attending, saying, citing logistics issues. And I would cite logistics issues too. So that has happened. We did hear a statement from Trump after the school shooting. Two people killed, at least 18 injured. I think that's the current still. That may have updated. But he did extend condolences to the governor of Kentucky during a call in response to that. Which that has fallen under a lot of scrutiny on social media because of other things that he has been so conspicuously not responsive about.
Yeah.
That he was, you know, so quickly to respond to this one.
Well, no, I don't think he was that quick.
Well, for him.
Yeah,
for him.
Because actually somebody pointed out that Justin Trudeau in Canada, the Prime Minister of Canada, sent a tweet offering condolences.
Oh, yeah.
Well prior to anything from Trump.
Oh, certainly.
Because he's perfect.
Not actual speed. I'm talking about Trump speed.
Oh, gotcha.
There's Trump time.
Yeah, okay.
For him.
Yeah, yes.
Who, you know, sometimes will take, even Charlottesville took him.
Oh, God, yeah. Days.
Not a week, but close. Yeah, you know, it took him a long time. So, and even then he fucked it up with both sides.
Yes.
Kind of idiot comment.
Lord.
So we got that. And, you know, and that's, again, I mean, it's kind of fueled more of the same chorus on social media of, yes, but when are we going to have a conversation about guns? Yes, but can we talk about, which is doing nothing.
Yeah, sure. It's just not going to happen.
I'm really down on social media rhetoric right now, particularly Twitter of, you know, me being kind to you on Twitter or me being an asshole to you on Twitter literally does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before, but like sending a tweet saying, now can we talk about guns and regulation and safety literally does nothing. It literally does nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
We can talk about it all day. We have to do things. We have to take direct action. We have to organize. We have to do things and participate with our bodies and our time and dollars when we have it. And I'm so tired of the Twitter activist. It does nothing unless you're matching it with, unless you have a very large platform because you are famous and you're saying, hi, people, 7 million people that follow me on Twitter.
Right, yeah.
Here's what I would like you to do today. Please call your senators. Please do, you know, that's okay. That's using your platform wisely. But for the most part, it's armchair pundits going, you know, now can we talk about this? Okay, talk.
Right.
And then get your ass out and do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so not here for that.
Well, and you know, on that note, we talked last week about the coming women's marches.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've happened, and the turnouts were massive again. So my concern that what we discussed last week about, well, if it's not as big, it's gonna could cause problems.
Right,
why are they doing this? But it seemed to me like a very, I wasn't at them, I know you went to the one here, but I mean, my sense, at least from the news coverage of them, was that the message,
I went and got audio,
yeah, right, that's what I meant.
I didn't,
I'm sorry,
watch.
Yes, that the message was fairly consistent in terms of, you know, of vote, you know, of rallying people to the polls, of voting and that sort of thing. So, I mean, if nothing else, it was a really strong show of force again. And I was worried it wasn't going to be that.
That's fine. You know? It's just like a frustrating disconnect, you know, that again, what did you change? I think large, conspicuous protest is important and do that. But maybe connect those dots.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You know, instead of just like, let's talk about guns. Instead of, like, skip that sentence and just don't ask for the, because here's what I hear when let's talk about, I hear, may I have your permission to give me an idea to do, you know what I mean? That's what I hear. So instead of that, say, hey, let's all get on the phone and call this number today and flood the NRA's switchboard. Mm-hmm. Let's all call the following representatives who are sponsoring a gun bill. Let's do that. Like, we just don't have time for this rhetoric right now. We need to be more mindful and thoughtful and specific. Specific is the word I'm aiming at here. Yeah. We need to be specific about our action. Let's talk about this versus, like, everybody, you know, this particular representative is sponsoring this bill.
Mm-hmm.
Clobber them with support right now.
Yeah.
That's different to me.
What was your sense from talking to people at the Women's March? Like, what did you feel that there was a focus there, or what was your, what did you get out of that?
You know, I wasn't out there as long as I wanted to be, because I was working during the main part of it, and then after I got off the air, I went out there. You know, I tried to talk to as wide a swath of people as I could, and different age and gender and race and all kinds of things, and different signs and people that were identifying with different groups. I would go pick out people from those groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly, honestly, I felt I didn't hear direct pinpointed action,
mm-hmm.
you know, except for people who were there with groups. Like, I am here with this organization and we're fighting for reproductive justice through providing clinic escorts and funding for women who cannot afford reproductive care. Cool. Like, that's very focused and clear why you're there today. You know, there was a lot of causes. I thought it was great. You know, people, I would say, if I had to sum it up, I would say, we've organized a lot more in the last year.
That's good.
So I think last year it was like, holy shit, this cannot happen. And then this year, okay, things have happened, but now we're doing this. So I talked to a lot of women that were like, well, I quit my job and I'm doing this now that seems a little more meaningful. I talked to a lot of people that were doing that. One woman, she wouldn't give me her name, actually. She said, I'm running for office. And I was like, great, what's your name? And she was like, I don't want to say. And I was like, well,
it's going to make your run a little bit.
It's probably going to come up eventually. She was like, I'm waiting for an official, I'm officially going to announce, so I don't want you to scoop me. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I had no idea who this one was. I've never seen her in my life. She's not like one of the players that you see just around like state house stuff or city hall stuff. So I have no idea who she is. She wouldn't tell me what she was running for. I have no idea. But I was like, okay, well, get it done. Okay, good job. Whatever. Yeah. So it seemed a little more like, I think people are more organized. I think there's still a little bit of frustration about what do we do that actually makes for impactful change. I did get a lot of that.
Yeah.
I think I got the least amount of frustration from very young people. The younger women were awesome. I loved talking. I wish I could have just like done a whole audio package of just talking to like teenage girls.
Wow, that's
there
cool.
was so much. God, like smart, engaged,
uh-huh.
on it, knows what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, cool.
Young girls out there. There was one I talked to. She was she and her mom were there, and she was. I think she said she was 12 or 13. And I was like, and why do you want to march today? And I expected just like, I want to be part of something. And she was like citing policy and people and bills. And she just went. And I was like, when 10 years, when you have office, please give me the exclusive interview.
Yeah, really? Holy cow. It gives you hope for the future.
Yeah, she was cool. She was like really, really smart. And I was like, are you going into this? And she was like, well, my plan is to go to law school and wing it from there. And I'm like, great. Okay, well. Stay
Damn.
In touch.
Yeah, seriously.
Because you're going to be awesome and I want to interview you.
Yeah, no kidding.
She was really great. There was a lot of young women there for racial justice and economic justice and really clear. And whenever I heard something kind of activist speak, I would say, like, what does that mean to you? And none of them hesitated to break that down.
Yeah.
Like, this is what this means and this happens in my community and it's bullshit. A lot of people out defending DACA. It was cool. I mean, it was good.
Awesome.
It was,
well, that's cool.
I mean, I got a lot of audio for not being out, you know, for being out like towards the end of it.
Right.
You know, when people are already walking away.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, I only took one picture of one sign and I put it on Instagram. It was one of the counter protesters who I would say were really quite aggressive this year.
Really?
They were really trying to target people, not necessarily physically, but really trying to be in the way.
Yeah.
Mostly like religious, like a religious Christian group that I'm not sure why it's threatening for women.
Or were they like anti-abortion? Or
one of them was, but some of them were just felt like it was like the signs anyway kind of indicated that it was just like this is not a traditional gender role, therefore against the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah. So I put one on Instagram that probably the most peculiar of signs. He was, I blurred it a little bit because he was standing next to a dude with a really graphic photo of an aborted fetus. But it said, attention lukewarm Christians, Jesus will vomit you out of his mouth, Revelation 3:16. And I was like, what? So I looked it up.
Yeah.
And it still didn't make a ton of sense. Like, I need to go. You know, the translations get a little iffy when we start looking at religious texts. But somebody commented on my Instagram who I know, and she is a Christian, and she said, she, you know, some degree of biblical scholar, and she said it's the lukewarm part was what she was particularly attached to and defending. She was like, well, it's a call to, like, not be a half-assed person about this. Like, go all in or not. She's like, I'm not necessarily sure how he's applying it to the Women's March, but he's saying, like, there will be a penalty for being a half-asser.
But what's with the throwing?
I don't know about the vomit. The vomit part we're going to get to next week. I'm working on that part, but I need to. Yeah, no, I'm not really sure.
Don't remember the part where Jesus eats people and then throws.
So, I said that on Twitter. I was like, so this is a sign I just saw, and it quickly devolved into a conversation with several people in it that. We pretty much turned Jesus into Godzilla really fast.
Right. like Jurassic Park savior.
That's basically
the savior
what
returns.
I mean, everybody's free to, you know, do your thing religiously. I'm not. I have nothing against Christianity, even though it is not my religion. But I had questions on that one.
That's interesting.
I was like, vomit me out, eh?
Well,
I mean, better than pooing me out.
Yeah. There
so,
you go. Good point.
You know.
Yeah. Gotta
okay.
Look on the right side.
Yeah. Whatever. So there was that. You know, I mean, it was a lot of people. Although I knew a lot of people that skipped this year. You know, I saw more than one woman I know said skipping the Women's March this year is my self-care, which totally valid.
Mm-hmm.
Less talk this year about, I thought anyway, and this is just anecdotal. I feel like last year there was a very concerted effort to talk about women who couldn't be there because of childcare or economic reasons or work or transportation. I don't feel like that group of women were in the conversation as much this year, or no one was speaking for them as much as I saw last year.
Yeah, that's too bad. But yeah, because that's a very important point, I think.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, there was a group out last year. I don't remember their name, but it's somewhere in the audio I collected. But there was a group that was specifically for, like, a lot of domestic workers and hotel workers, and they were talking. And there are several groups that they recognize that work for those women, but and help them organize. But one of them was like, you know what? All of our members pretty much are working today,
right,
and so we're leadership, but we're here to recognize them and march in their stead. So I would still say plenty of dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, last year was a good mix of men and women. Absolutely the same this year.
Woke dudes.
I hope, you know, I hope on some level,
like,
woke. Hopefully not woke misogynist, as we've discussed before.
Yeah, right.
I think there was a lot of men, there was a lot of kids. I knew some men that went by themselves. There's a guy that I follow on Instagram that said, my daughter's working, my wife's away, my sister lives in another state, so I'm just going to march for all of them today. And, you know, and he was just out by himself with the sign.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was cool. So, I think the question is, like, what does that become? What is it for now? What is it? You know, just as with our lukewarm religious guy sign, you know, I think lukewarm anything's not that good. Like, let's go all in.
Right.
If we want to take to the streets to do something, like, let's do it.
Well, the big test is going to be the midterms now. I mean, you know, there's a couple special elections coming up here and there. But honestly, that's really where the metal meets the rail, or whatever they say, the cheese meets the cracker.
I'm just going to let you flail for a minute.
It's where the tater meets the frying pan, as I like to say.
The tater meets the tot.
Yes.
Yeah, that, Hupke, that.
Yeah, exactly. But, seriously, though, that's what happens there is going to really determine the direction that this country takes now coming up. Because right now, as we saw with the shutdown and everything, there isn't a whole lot that the Democrats are able to do to override things that either the administration or just this Congress in general wants to try to do. You know, you want to talk about Russia a little bit?
Sure. I think I love talking about Russia.
You know, the Russia thing.
You talk. I'm gonna. I got something going on with my eye right now. So you talk, and I'm gonna mess with my eye for a minute. It's hurting.
See, this is where we really need a video to go with our podcast.
I don't know why extremely handsome people such as ourselves are not on television. I don't get it.
Preposterous. There's some serious eye gouging going on. So the thing about the Russia stuff, and I've always tried to maintain a certain level of, like, objectivity is not really my thing at this juncture as a columnist, but you know,
that's not really my thing. He says
be a little rational at least about this Russia stuff, because it's, you know, because nobody really knows. I mean, it's very confusing. There's a lot of stuff out there. You know, we don't know exactly what it is, and I've kind of come to the general thought that, you know, I don't know whether Donald Trump really engaged in some form of collusion with the Russians in our election. I haven't seen something that makes me say definitively, like, oh yeah, definitely. I do think it is becoming increasingly obvious that he in some way, shape, or form obstructed the investigation, and he seems to be continuing to try to obstruct the investigation, which is why it's, you know, what's frustrating right now is that if you lay out all the pieces, and, you know, this has all been kind of a drip, drip, drip of, mm-hmm. of scoops and news and that sort of thing. But if you lay out all of the things that have happened that we know, you know, you have two indictments from Robert Mueller. You have, you know, Mueller pulling in all kinds of people. Like, we now found out this week he pulled in Comey and he pulled in Jeff mm-hmm. Sessions.
Right.
And so the noose is tightening a little bit. And, I mean, whatever transpired, to try to act like this is a phony investigation, like this is made up nonsense, is just to be willfully blind. And now what you have, and what really I think is going to become increasingly concerning, is some not all the Republicans.
Is it willful blindness, or is it attempt to do damage control?
I'm talking about on the part of people, like, you know, people out there who are like, no, he didn't do anything. What are you talking about? That's fake news.
Okay.
So I'm not talking about the administration is not will. I mean,
okay. All right. I thought you were fully saying that. Okay.
No, they are doing everything they can to throw up smoke screens and cast doubt and all that kind of stuff. But some Republicans now, including Devin Nunes, who's a toady and a half for Trump, are trying to sow this narrative that there's like this secret society in the FBI that's trying to bring Donald Trump down, and he claims to have a memo, which a lot mm-hmm. it's in the right wing conservative media big time. All this, the Nunes memo and stuff.
Right.
The memo that he's being referred to was written by Nunes and the Republicans.
Right.
So, and it contains apparently pretty classified information. But what the Democrats on the Senate Intelligence Committee are saying is that, okay, they're just taking a bunch of shit out of context or not giving a complete picture and spinning it all to make it look like there's some kind of grand conspiracy here. But clearly they're working up towards releasing that memo, despite Democratic objections, and also, the FBI, apparently, they won't even show the memo to the FBI, but they're talking about releasing it publicly. And so what's going on is very obvious. I mean, they're trying to concoct something that will create such a stink that it will forever, in the minds of those who wish to be so influenced, it will forever excuse whatever the actual outcome of Robert Mueller's investigation is. And that is so damn horrible and un-American, what they're doing. Because, again, if you sit back objectively and you look at all the little pieces of what's happened here.
Well, we don't know what's in it.
No, we don't know what's in it.
We don't know what's in
it. Right. But, I mean, what I'm saying is based on the reporting that has been done at this point about that memo. And also the way everyone from Alex Jones to Sean Hannity are you know, spinning it. I mean, they're using it as, they're like, release the memo, hashtag release the memo, and blah, blah. Right. You know, it's like a big fucking deal. And honestly, again, step back from it all. Put Hillary in prison for all of her crimes, and let's just like say, okay, she did all those things you think she did. She's bad. Lock her and Bill and all the rest of them up. I will I'll give you that. Okay. Now let's move over to here with, and you look objectively at all of the information we have about Trump and Russian involvement, as well as Trump and efforts to mess with this investigation and with the FBI and denouncing the FBI and sicking his attorney general on the FBI and doing all these other things. You look at that objectively, and there is something fundamentally wrong. Something has gone very wrong here. This is not normal. None of this is normal behavior for a president or for an administration or for a Justice Department or anything. So to try to, you know, pretend it's like a cult of personality at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all you're doing is trying to defend this guy who doesn't give a crap about anybody but himself. And I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand why people can't just kind of come to their senses a little bit. You don't have to say, yeah, he for sure colluded with Russia, throw him in prison. No, I'm just saying, hey, something looks weird here. Why don't we let this come out?
Well, I think part of it is, and you know, this is like always me picking on language and narrative, but I think part of it is that it is so large and so nuanced. There's so many details and so many players. It's hard to keep track of beat by beat.
Right.
Because it's like a really complicated chess game, right? Like one piece will move and you've got to reassess everything else on the board suddenly, you know? Like, so that's, I think, kind of mentally exhausting, or at the very least, it's intellectual labor to keep going through that. And okay, this guy did this. What does that imply to this stakeholder? What does that mean here? What does it mean here? You kind of have to like keep going through it daily, or every time there's a new detail. The other thing I think is interesting is nobody really knows what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of call it like the thing, the Russia thing. Like you said.
Russian
stuff.
Investigation, Russian stuff, Russian
right.
stuff.
Yeah, right, like the stuff, the thing, because it's a lot. It's more than just one thing.
Right,
and so it's kind of a lot. Therefore, it becomes this nebulous other without a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, NPR has a piece, I just pulled it up, from a few days ago. The headline, it's under their national security vertical, but the headline is, "The Russia Investigations, Is Infiltration the New Collusion?" And it opens, "Last week in Russia investigations, will infiltration be the new collusion or obstruction, another skirmish over executive privilege? Is the Russia..." Da, 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 keeps going. But it's like, is it about collusion, obstruction, infiltration? Like, what is the word you want to use? And most of the words are too small to fully encapsulate all of it, because there is investigation, there is obstruction, there is infiltration, there's collusion, there is a lot of words that we use to describe that.
Yeah.
And therefore I think we help it get away from us because we don't know what to call it.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of it too. I don't know what to call it, because it's this big thing with a lot of parts and a lot of verbs attached to it.
Yeah.
So what do you call it? I don't know. But I think it seems like it seems petty and tedious, but I do think, because I don't have any ability to control the outcome of any of it.
Sure.
I can't do anything about it other than control and consider and be thoughtful about the way I speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, what if we all kind of put our heads together and said, okay, what could we call it that's a little more specific? Like, I think we've talked about this before on the show, the difference between saying pro-life versus anti-choice,
right, yeah.
and like what that does to the mindset involved here.
Yeah.
So I think there's some language to be played with around this, because the first problem is the story is getting away from us, and it's hard to stay on top of because, and I say that as a consumer, not as someone reporting on it or doing any work in that area, but it's a hard story to stay on top of because we don't even know what to call it.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, what's funny too is the whole Benghazi investigation into what happened there was always just Benghazi. Like, I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, with that, I mean, that was every bit as sprawling as, well, no, I take that back. Not every bit, but that was a pretty...
It was a sprawling story.
There was a lot going on there, right? And there were multiple investigations and stuff. And, you know, I always... There were a lot of parts of that where I was like, yeah, this does sound... You know, like, what exactly did happen here? And, I mean, there are elements to... I mean, it was always clear to me that with the whole situation and what unfolded, that there were definitely mistakes were made. And it was... You know, far from ideal, a lot of problems, blah, 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 as to whether it was actually anybody's fault specifically or whatever, that's another story. But you know, what with that, once the investigations concluded, and there were, Jesus, like, you know, four or five of them, it seems like, And none
Even
of them
like full Irish grandma on that one. Yeah. Jesus.
Yes. I don't know where that came from exactly. You know, once they came out and Republican, most of them were Republican led and they didn't find anything. You know, I mean, they found there were criticisms, but there wasn't like, you should go to prison for this, or, you know, there were nobody was found to be specifically guilty of
well,
something.
But an interesting thing happened with Benghazi that became with the Benghazi investigation. Let me say the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That I think will happen in the near future when Russia is not too distant history, because it became a code word for whatever you wanted it to be, and that becomes very problematic. We're seeing that right now with the word Chicago.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. Yeah,
people can use that to mean a very racist thing. People can use that as it becomes a code word for some for whatever you want it to be. And Benghazi became that word, and I think Russia might. So I think specificity of language will be really important shaping our political narratives and it's really anal. And I know people are always like, Jesus Christ, Guth and her semantics. But I do think it matters. I really do. I think it matters, particularly now when social media users play a role in the news cycle. I do think it matters how we describe things and the language we use.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also, I mean, even beyond just the sort of sense of what you're saying, there's also the it's
the
almost
brilliance
like,
of it. Yes, and the greatness
really, yeah, really the... the supremely intellectual take on it. No, but it is a good point. But I think some of it is even branding, basically.
Yeah.
Because that's, yeah. I mean, it, you know, Benghazi really boiled down to, it became Hillary did Benghazi. I mean, that's kind of the, you know, well, she did Benghazi, blah, blah, you know, and it, which totally was preposterous, but it became damn effective for people on the right.
So I've tested this theory. So I've waited for someone to spout a strong emotion next to the word Watergate, and you can lead someone to drink from that river, get someone to, let's start this president, start getting them going backwards, they'll say Watergate soon enough, and then stop and go, okay, pretend I just arrived on this planet, tell me what happened in Watergate. They can't do it.
Yeah.
Or they'll give you like, well, you know, it was like this phone tap, you know, thing, and it was, you know, and they really can't tell you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's really interesting. People on both, that feel both like this was a pivotal watershed moment and a lot of clarity and transparency happened. It was great. And then people that will be like, Watergate, crook, bleh, like still can't break it down. So I think the other danger of it is those many details and the churn of it and how many pieces of a story like this, when you have all these players, you also run the risk of it being, it's the same with jargon.
Yeah.
Like you risk it meaning nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Because being in such hot pursuit of a code word for something, sometimes you can risk it being nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Like when I used to have a more kind of corporate role, anytime someone ever said like strategic integration, I'd be like, tell me exactly what that's going to entail. And they usually it meant like log into a fucking website and click yes to allow this app. Literally, that is what it meant like 80% of the time. I would say, so why don't you just say log in? Words mean shit.
Yeah.
And there is value in simplicity of language. And I fight this in some circles a lot because I think there's a tendency to like out activists speak each other sometimes.
Yeah.
But the problem is I think that discourages people from getting a seat at the table. And then when people do have a seat at the table, they feel like they don't know a fucking word that's happening.
Yeah, right.
So we're leaving people out of political conversations by trying to use language that like abbreviates shit or is intentionally elitist language. I will die on that hill. I know I said I would die on the media literacy hill. I will also die on this hill. I will die on both hills.
The hills are very close together.
They're right there. Yeah, I'll get in the valley. You guys can kill me there between the two hills. But that's another hill I will die on. That intentionally jargony language is fucking elitist. I swear I will fight anybody on that. And I get into a lot of arguments about that because people are like, I'm just being intellectual. No, you're being an elitist.
Yeah.
There are papers of record in major metropolitan areas around the world that have said specifically they don't want op-eds to be above about a 9th or 10th grade reading level for that very reason. Not because smart people need to dumb their shit down, but because by nature, speaking out on a topic should be accessible to everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Should be accessible to as many people as possible. You shouldn't have to have a graduate degree in order to process and think critically about language. And yeah. So by, you know, when we're going into like praxis, like people go, I don't totally know. I'm not going to, I must not be welcome in that space.
Yeah. Right.
And it prevents people from going further into their, you know, political inclinations, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I know I'm right.
That's some radical cognitive disruption you just busted out there.
Radical cognitive disruption.
Yeah.
It's kind of weighing on my heart a little bit because a friend of mine went to something in another city, not here. She went to, really felt called to be more politically involved, went to something and got up and left. And she's like, I was in a room full of a bunch of men that were speaking over my head. And I was like, you have a master's degree. She's like, I know. And I felt like an idiot.
That sucks.
I felt like I was like, was it about gender? She's like, not really, but that's just who. She said, if anything, my being one of the only women in the room made me stay longer because I felt like I needed to represent. I just couldn't cut it. It became so clear that it was like people trying to outsmart each other,
yeah.
or at least sound smarter and not. She's like, I want my language to be accessible. That doesn't mean I'm going to be like, I pick up phone. Phone is good. Nah. Like, I don't need to speak like a kindergartner.
Yeah.
But I know I put effort into making my language accessible as best I can. And I think it's shitty when people do the opposite.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. You can't really argue with that.
I realize that was a major departure tangent.
No. But it's important, though. Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you encapsulate the Russia stuff.
I mean, I think collusion is a pretty good word now.
Yeah, except that
or investigation.
Yeah. I mean, I think calling it the Mueller investigation
maybe is the
best approach because it really isn't just Russia. I mean, I think,
that's
again,
yeah.
at the end of the day,
if
I had to guess, at the end of the day, I think the obstruction is going to be the bigger issue than the Russia
I like stuff. Mueller investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's tricky. I think we need to think thoughtfully.
Yeah.
Hi, Guth. Real nice. We need to be thoughtful about our what we're... I don't mean you and I necessarily because we're great.
We nail it. Yeah.
We nail it every time. But all of us could be. I think specificity of language is really important right now, especially as so many words are coming at us so quickly.
Maybe we could. Let's see. What could you make Mueller? Maybe like the Mullergation or the Mullergazi?
No.
I'll keep working on that. It needs a buzzword.
Does it?
It needs a hook. We need a hook on this investigation.
We need a big splashy graphic for Fox News and some really dramatic underscoring music.
Fox News, was it Tucker Carlson had... He had a big graphic that said, Tainted Probes. And somebody...
Come on!
And somebody tweeted $1 million to whoever can quickly change this to probed taints. And somebody, of course, did it, seconds later.
The internet's Photoshop fired up, and there it was.
Probe taints.
Oh, God.
Tucker Carlson's horrible, man. That guy's just a booger.
He's an interesting little dude.
Yeah.
It seems like he feels like someone needs to, like, wind, like, he's got a wind-up thing sticking out of his back, and someone should wind up, because he's, like, working so hard at being that pissed off.
Right, yeah.
But then Sean Hannity's no different. So, well, unfortunately, on that note of, what'd you say? Something taint?
Cognitive disruption? No. Oh, taint. probed taints.
On that note of probed taints, we are out of time. Let's not name this episode the worst probed taint ever. I think that would be the final straw WGN would go, okay, worst, we're officially done with worst, you two idiots.
Worst taint ever.
No, here's the thing about that final parting thought, and then we do have to run. And that is, there are many topics that sometimes when we're naming the episode after, we sit there with esteemed producer Jasmine Cooper and we go, hey, what should we call this one? Worst, whatever. There are some words that will come up and we go, we got to save that one because we know it won't be the worst.
Yeah. I think penis was one of them, I believe. Because we got a feeling that's something that's
coming. Oh, yeah. I was like, no, that's definitely, no, we're going to need to save that one. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, we're going to save worst taint for another time.
Fine.
On that note, worst probe, too. All right. So it has been Guth and Hupke on in politics. We will see you next time.